This program is part of the Cosmic Potato Podcast Network. For more shows like this, visit our website at cosmicpotato.com.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Welcome to Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk Podcast.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
We've got you covered with everything from Marvel to Star Wars.
I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to take this time to explain my evil plan.
Classic films, trivia games, and beyond.
Come to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
Now, on with the show.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk Podcast, the show that likes to say that we think outside the box, but think outside the box is the most inside the box inspirational thing that you can say. So instead, we like to say that we're woke AF.
You never said that.
I said I like to say that. I didn't say I actually say that. But sitting across the virtual table from me is John Irons. How are you, sir?
I do well.
And also Thanks. With us is Virginia. How are you?
Fine.
And Rick is here as well. How's it going, Rick?
Hang on. I got to go burn my flip-flops. I'll be right back.
Oh, God.
Well, you are in Florida. Just walk around a bit.
I started to make a joke, but I couldn't come up with one that I thought was going to be funny enough. But mainly,
hey, that, see, I don't sweat that.
I have not bought anything that had the Nike brand on it in probably 20 years anyway.
Yeah,
people that have kids don't usually have enough expendable income to buy anything that they don't sell at Walmart.
Exactly.
So
pay less is my shoe source.
But tonight we're going to play Sci-Fighters.
Woo-hoo!
Once again.
Yay!
This is a game that we like to play from time to time that we take characters from various genres and pit them against one another and decide who would win in a battle to the, I don't know, not necessarily the death, but...
To the pain.
To the pain. You clicked out for a second. You went silent there for a second there, Sean, as you were explaining.
I went silent? Okay. Well, I think the recording still picked it up. But yeah, what was I saying?
You said it's the show where we...
we like to take characters from various genres and pit them together in a battle, battle royale kind of thing. And in the past, we've done things like pit... The one I like to go back to is the Tin Man versus C-3PO or something like that. And, you know, it's something we like to do to have fun. But John has put together our combatants for the night. So, John, I'm gonna hand it over to you.
That's fine. I forgot we were doing this. which is not to say that I'm not prepared.
Let me say, John forgot that we're doing this. This was John's idea.
John
sent me a message and said, "Do you want to do Sci-Fighters?" Sure.
What I mean is, I forgot that we were doing this first.
Okay.
Because we're also recording another episode for another show tonight. I thought we were doing the other episode first. But I do have the combatants. I just have to get a pen and paper.
Okay.
And we still have our lost magic versus sci-fi episode of Sci-Fighters that we actually recorded, but was lost to the
winds of the internet. My ineptitude.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing that one, but instead, we're going to do Doppelgangers Part 2, which is two roles by the same actor, and who would win if they came head to head.
So example would be like Neo versus John Wick.
That would be an example.
Yeah.
Neo would win.
Unless Neo killed John's dog.
Right.
I was like, Neo would jump into John Wick and he would try to explode him from the outside, like Agent Smith.
Right.
And I think, I don't know who would win that. I think he would just ripple. I think his skin would just ripple for a while. And it'd be some Wick Neo hybrid, Neo Wick. All right.
It would be,
but that's not what we're doing here.
It would be Ted Theodore Logan.
Let me see. Actually, is he on the list? We did him last time, right?
Who?
Did we do those last time?
Yeah,
you expect us to remember?
So. No, we did. We did that Neo versus Constantine.
Oh right, yes. Mm. Yes.
All right. No, that's out of the way. Let's just jump right in, Sean.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Martin Riggs, Lethal Weapon versus Mad Max.
Okay. Well, God, it's been so long since I've seen a Mad Max movie that wasn't Fury Road.
That's going to make an appearance later. But for now.
Wait, can I ask for a clarification?
Sure.
That might help. Sure. Which Mad Max from which movie?
Dealer's Choice.
Okay.
Not the first one, because he hasn't embraced his Mad Maxness yet.
Exactly. That's what I was asking.
It's got to be
one cool on the first one.
But yeah, the first one, he still has some expectations of the rules of society and civilization. Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't gone full tilt post-apocalypse yet.
All right. So like Mad Max 2 versus...
Sure.
Riggs.
Two men enter, one man leaves. One of them is Martin Riggs.
I'm gonna go with Riggs. Okay, I'm gonna say he's versus Riggs from like Lethal Weapon 2 or 3, because in Lethal Weapon 1, Riggs wanted to kill himself. You know, so he probably wouldn't put up that much of a fight.
This is a more stable version of Riggs.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the first time the word stable and Riggs have ever appeared in the same sentence. Thinking that.
Modifier, more stable version.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got the TV version of Riggs that got fired for being a jerk on set, but I want to go with Riggs, mainly because I know more about him. Because, like I said, it's been so long since I've seen Mad Max, but I'll let you guys weigh in. What do you guys think?
I got to go with Max on this one, because especially if you're going with Road Warrior Max.
Yeah.
Because he was totally unhinged in that one. You know, he was the death of his family was still fairly fresh, and the apocalypse, you know, he hadn't had to deal with a bunch of children and Tina Turner yet. you know, I was not a fan of Thunderdome, because, you know, he kind of, you know how you get a character that's really cool and then they kind of turn them into the caricature of that everyone thinks that it is.
Right.
I think that's what happened in Thunderdome. But in the Road Warrior, he was just absolute total badass. And I think Riggs is just a little too cop.
You know what? See, that's the thing. It's like they're both anti-hero good guys, but you got to catch them at the right stage of their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, later on, Riggs gets a little too domesticated, and so does Mad Max. So you got to get him right when. Yeah.
Well, Riggs is mostly in his best element when he's really got something to, like, if somebody that he really cares about has been kidnapped or something like that. And I don't really see Max like kidnapping somebody. But Virginia, I would ask you, but yeah, I got a feeling that this is going to be something for your, that would be something for what you've never seen.
I actually have not seen any of the Mad Max movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm really excited. Wait, you've never seen Mad Max? Fury Road?
You've not seen Fury Road either?
No, I have not.
Oh, Gerd, killing me.
Right. See, that's a tricky franchise.
Let me ask a question then. Should I see the original Mad Maxes before I see Fury Road?
Yes.
Because if
absolutely
I can just see...
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's not really necessary to place Fury Road in context, but it is it's like you should see older James Bond movies before you see the new James Bond movies.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
But I will say,
since you're doing a show called Wait, You've Never Seen, you should. Yeah.
You don't need to watch Mad Max before you watch The Road Warrior, because two-thirds of the United States, myself included, didn't even realize The Road Warrior was a sequel to anything.
Hmm. I did.
That's one of the things. When Virginia Hay was on the show, she was in that movie, and she said that, if I got it right, she said that overseas in England, they called it Mad Max 2. But over here, they didn't. They just went with Road Warrior. So,
yeah. But the first time I mentioned The Road Warrior to anyone on Simply Syndicated, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the second Mad Max movie? Oh, yeah, that was just Mad Max 2 over here.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm going to go with the consensus. I'm going to say Mad Max. All
right. That was a long road.
It's a talk show.
Was it a fury road?
Mad Max form. It was a rough road to get from here to there. All right.
Good thing I'm a road warrior.
I heard you, Virginia.
Thank you.
I missed it. What?
I said, was it a fury road?
Oh. All right. Half a point.
Wrong show.
Rick.
Hello.
Raiden from Mortal Kombat versus Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod.
Oh, I love it. That's tricky.
The background is my wife making noise.
I'm printing.
She decided to print a bunch of papers while I'm recording.
Hi, Sherry.
They said hi.
Hi.
Raiden versus Connor. Okay. So we're going to have another one of these situations like the coyote, but I'm going to make sure to, like making a genie wish.
All right.
Because I don't think Raiden can kill Connor, but he can hurt the ever-living bleep out of him for a long time.
I mean, he could kill him. He could. He is capable of decapitation. I suspect.
Well, but yeah, but he—that's not his main attack. His main attack is lightning.
Yeah,
and so he could have Connor twitching for 100 years and not kill him. But I don't know how. I have no idea how physically vulnerable Raiden is because he's a god, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Connor, other than the fact that he lives forever, he doesn't have any powers. I mean, he's not super strong. But, he can't fly or anything like that. He's just.
But Raiden can be. I mean, he's in the Mortal Kombat competition.
Yes, yeah, so, I never played the game. I only saw the movie, so I don't know.
But it's all types of warriors. Some of whom, you know, don't have weapons. Some of whom just have swords or cutting weaponry.
Yeah, but everybody in Mortal Kombat has some kind of super attack.
His physical form is vulnerable. He's tough, but he's not, you know. He's not Thor tough. Like, if you throw a spear at him, he'll get stabbed.
Okay. I'm okay. One more question, because is his lightning attack something he can keep up indefinitely, or does he need to recycle?
He can keep it up for a while at varying intensities, but he's not. I mean, he will get tired. He'll need to take a break.
Then I'm going to give it to McLeod because I don't think Raiden can kill McLeod and without a physical attack, without getting in there and cutting his head off, which would mean he'd have to stop the lightning long enough to do it. And as soon as the lightning turns off, McLeod is all over him.
See, I'm trying to remember if his finishing move is he just blasts you until you explode. Exploding counts.
He'd also have to know that's Connor's weakness, and Connor's not going to advertise that. People don't know that Connor's an immortal, except for other immortals.
Yeah, but he's a god, wouldn't he know? Don't they all know each other?
He's not. he's a god with a little g. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's not omniscient. He's just a badass.
You don't think like the Greek god know the Norse god, or at least know of them?
But Connor's not a god.
Yeah, he's an alien, but if you want to go by Highlander.
But also, think about what happens to the immortals when they win the quickening. Okay, lightning doesn't really do that much to them. In fact, they kind of like it.
All right.
So I'm going with McLeod on this one.
There can be only one.
The Highlander movies?
I have not.
Oh, we're just giving you all kinds of movies for your show.
I know. I'm writing all of these down for real.
Fortunately for you, there's only one movie in the Highlander series you really need to watch. The rest, don't.
Well, I hear there is only one. So.
There can be only one.
All right, let's see.
Also, Highlander is what is the movie that gave us the one and only Clancy Brown. So,
right.
Was that his first?
If it wasn't his first movie, it's the first one where he like
it was early,
had a big role and got on the radar.
And a great sound.
The Halloween ladies.
All right, I'm trying to pick two. All right, how about this, Virginia? How about?
Mm-hmm.
The Mask versus Bruce Almighty.
It's been a while since I've seen either of those. So the mask, he puts on the mask and then he can run around fast.
He's,
I don't really remember.
Much, he's like a living cartoon character.
Okay.
As according to the lore, it's the mask of Loki and it brings out your personality. And his personality is a big
cartoon character.
Gotcha. So he's
basically immortal. He's all the stuff that you would see Bugs Bunny do, he can do.
Right.
I don't know if Almighty counts as a lowercase g or is it a middle case g.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Middle case?
Well, yeah.
It's a g with two little dots on top.
So Bruce Almighty, I'm sorry. It really has been a while since I've seen these. He became God or something like that.
God gave him all of his powers. Him with
limited godlike abilities.
Okay. So what I'm going to say is the mask, because he can probably like defy the rules of physics and all of that jazz and be cartoonish and do a lot of things. Whereas Bruce Almighty has these limited powers, maybe won't be able to do as much and defeat him.
I don't know, because in Bruce Almighty, he had the ability to have an effect on surroundings. Like he pulled the moon closer to the earth.
Yeah, he summoned a...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But I think I agree with Virginia, because I think... As the mask, I think I think he has greater imagination. So anything that Bruce could come up with, the mask could counter instantly. Whereas I think the mask would confound Bruce and win.
Yeah, because Ipkiss was really into watching cartoons and stuff. So basically the mask turned him into a cartoon character. He could do anything a cartoon can do, which is anything. He could do it.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, he got shot and blown up and all that stuff, and he just kind of, it was cartoony. It was all physical comedy.
But unless Bruce is able to get the mask off of him, because that happened in the movie a couple of times. The mask would just get knocked off of him.
Yeah, but he wouldn't. I don't think Bruce would. That's what I'm saying. I just. The level of imagination, Bruce was really, I'm not going to say he was dumb, but he was very straightforward.
I think you're way underestimating Bruce.
Think so?
Yeah, I don't think he had limited powers. God made him God. big G, no umlauts. So I mean,
I don't think it's a question of what he could do. I think it's a question of what he would think to do.
Well, there one word, smite.
Yeah. True.
Splat.
True.
But would I don't know that that would stop the mask?
Wouldn't he be able to evade the smiting?
I think he would send out a big lightning bolt, and then there would be a little, there'd be a crash, and there'd be a little smoky stain on the floor, and Bruce would come over and look at it, and then the mask would come up behind him, like, "What are we looking at?"
Yeah.
But Bruce was also, well, I guess they really didn't play up the omniscience too much, did they?
I don't know that. Oh, right. He heard prayers. Isn't that right? He could, like, is that?
It's been a long. I only saw it. Haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah, the whole prayer thing. That was the gag that he heard the prayers and he couldn't handle it, so he changed it to an email.
He just granted everybody's wish.
Yeah. He was like, hey, it's like he had 3 million people win the lottery at one time.
Yeah. All right. Virginia, it's your call.
I'm going to stick to my guns and say the mask.
Good with it. Sean.
Here I am.
Groot versus Riddick.
Man.
How much Riddick have you seen?
I saw Pitch Black like 20 years ago.
you haven't seen either of the other two?
No.
There's two more?
There's two more.
I knew there was
the
one more.
Chronicles of Riddick, and then what's the other one?
Huh?
What's the other one besides the Chronicles of Riddick, right?
I think it's just called Riddick.
Hmm. I thought it was just those two.
Yeah, the second one is very good. The third one, it was meh. Well, yeah. Compared to the first two, it was not good. On its own, as its own thing, it was meh. But if you want to go with straight original flavor, Pitch Black Riddick, I'm fine with that.
I'm gonna say Groot.
Yeah.
Number one, I know more about him, but I think that he's more invulnerable because he's a big giant tree.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. He's definitely more invulnerable, but Riddick is definitely smart. He's like way smarter. Like Groot has more ability, but Riddick is ridiculously clever. I think he would find some way to set him on fire. He's like, oh, you're a tree? Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah.
But I'm good either way. We go Groot.
Yeah, I'm Rick. Going with Groot.
I am Groot. I mean, I'm Rick. I am not here.
That one. I will give you Phil from Groundhog Day.
Versus. Never saw it.
How in the
What?
You would love that film. You know what? I'm not even gonna. I'm done with you, man. Phil from Groundhog Day versus Peter Venkman. You know the deal, right?
I know that he keeps doing the same day over and over again, which is why I haven't seen it, because that particular conceit drives me insane.
You should see it. You should see it.
We're planning to watch it right before Groundhog Day for a way you've never seen, because I've never seen it.
All right, but pencil me in for that one.
Okay, I will do that.
Does Bankman have a proton pack?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Because Phil doesn't really have any powers. So. He has no control over what's happening to him. It's just happening to him.
Yeah, but he experiences things over and over and over and over and over until he is omniscient.
so he can lose the fight a million times and then just figure out how to get the best of him.
Yeah.
Well, if that's his power, then he's unbeatable and the game's done.
That's an interesting question. If you're stuck in a time loop, does your first loss count, or is that just part of the loop? I put it to committee, and I'll go with whatever.
I mean, if Venkman has his equipment, then it's no contest. You just blast him with a proton pack.
And that counts.
Just deck him. I mean, he's just a dude, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're both just regular people.
And
yeah.
And which one's the bigger a-hole, Venkman or Phil?
I think they're
pretty even.
Oh, really? Okay.
I would say that over time, Groundhog Phil becomes less of an a-hole, but it's like years. It's like decades.
I think in the original script, they said that he actually stayed in that time loop for like 30-something years.
Yeah, I think they figured it out. Yes, it's 30-something years. He lived the same day over.
The original script was going to say that he
would actually for like
1,000 years and basically became a god.
He would welcome the sweet release of death.
Right.
I'm going to give it to Venkman.
I'm going to say Venkman, unless Phil could just keep recycling, in which case he beats everybody.
Right.
Eventually. It's like Harry Mudd.
I'll leave that to you to choose which way we're going to let the loop work.
I think we don't. Otherwise, because, you know, like I said, if that's his deal, then we there's no point in going on because he's going to beat all covers.
Fair enough. Virginia.
Yes.
Steve Trevor versus Captain Kirk.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Chris versus Chris.
Let's see. Well. I don't have a whole lot of commentary. I'm just thinking.
I was going to say it's a podcast. You got to think out loud.
So, Captain Kirk, he starts out reckless, but then he learns and stuff. Steve Trevor, he just he also starts out reckless. He just randomly ends up on the island, right? Right? Or am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, he is reckless. He is reckless, but brave.
And yes.
He's definitely reckless, because he was only supposed to do recon.
Right. So I feel like Wonder Woman is really the star of that. And so he's more we don't really get to see a whole lot of Steve Trevor's stuff because it's all about Wonder Woman, right? And I'm kind of biased because I know more about Star Trek. So just based on that, I'm going to go with Captain Kirk. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
That's fine.
Which movie are we pulling Kirk from? Because, you know, in the first one, he didn't really know anything, and he's more of a hothead.
Not Kirk, I presume.
Okay.
Wait, what? I was thinking a composite of all three of them, actually. All three of the movies. Because in the first one, he's this hotshot, I can do whatever I want. And then by the third one, he's
more of a captain, yeah.
Here we are out on the,
But he was a pretty good scrapper in all three.
Yeah.
True.
Granted, he gets his ass handed to him every time, but that's...
Oh my god, that makes me laugh so hard.
But he did beat Crawl. No, anyway.
Right.
So yeah, I was thinking Trevor because he's, you know, combat trained, and I kept thinking we didn't see much of Pine Kirk fighting, but yeah, we did. He did just fine.
Well, and he fought Spock on the bridge, although, yeah, Spock really got beat the crap out of him. But, yeah.
But whoever wins.
Who? Am I hitting something? I'm sorry. I'm hearing a lot of static.
It sounds like somebody's sitting on their microphone.
That might have been me. Okay. I moved my hand.
Okay. Whoever wins that fight... Jack Ryan shows up and has to fight him next.
Who, what?
Jack Ryan. You know, he played Jack Ryan in Shadow Recruit. So whoever wins that fight has to fight Jack Ryan.
Oh. Okay. Let's see. I'm actually going to trade one of these out. I'll trade it out for... Just... All right, Sean, this is you, right?
Okay.
Let's do... Jack Bauer versus David teenage vampire from The Lost Boys. Yes.
I knew that's where you were going. I mean, I have to go with Jack Bauer.
I mean, he's a vampire.
Yeah, he's a vampire, but he's a hothead teenage vampire. He's, you know, he's full of himself. And I think Jack would, as long as he can, I mean, I think that initially, as long as he can stay away from him long enough to not get bitten or something in the beginning of the fight, I think eventually Jack would get the upper hand over him. And yeah, I mean, I have to go with Jack Bauer. I can't go against Jack.
I don't disagree. I think that's probably what. Yeah, if Jack Bauer can survive long enough to realize that he's fighting a vampire, he'll probably win.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Rick.
Yes.
Speaking of vampires.
Okay.
Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible versus Lestat.
Ooh. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this. Okay. Yeah, Lestat will let Ethan think he's winning. Let Ethan break his knuckles and bash his fist and then just casually snap his neck. He may or may not drink him. Yeah, he might. He probably will. You know what he'll do?
He'll gaze at his own beautiful face.
Actually, you know what? Lestat's just egotistical enough to do
that. Wouldn't he have to drink from him first? I don't remember how.
See what?
Wouldn't they have to drink from him drink first? Because they're not supposed to drink from a dead person, right?
Right. Yeah, he'd have to drain them to the point of death, and then get them to drink their blood. It's a rather complicated process.
Hold on.
But yeah, Lestat without. I think Tom Cruise, the version of Lestat in Interview with the Vampire. I know a lot of people were upset about it. I think it was just fine considering it was Louis' view of Lestat and not the actual Lestat. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Maleficent versus Lara Croft.
Well.
Is Maleficent bulletproof?
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, she is a full-fledged magical chick. But Lara Croft fights demons on occasion. So she's not unfamiliar with that term.
So I don't know that I've ever seen Maleficent, but I did see Sleeping Beauty. And does Maleficent also transform into a giant fire-breathing dragon?
She does. In Maleficent, it gives you... It's more like a Wicked, see it from her point of view kind of story.
Gotcha.
But yes, basically all kinds of magic and transmogrifying abilities.
So as excellent as Lara Croft Tomb Raider's fighting skills may be, I think she would be barbecued by the giant fire-breathing dragon. So I'm going to give it to Maleficent.
Yeah. I didn't take the dragon into account. As
part of the She did battle a T-Rex in the video game, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah. But T-Rexes don't breathe fire, so...
Couldn't grab
or at those, least science hasn't proven that yet.
Sean.
All right.
Imperata Furiosa versus the Atomic Blonde.
Oh.
I mean, basically, they're basically the same. I mean, I want to say Furiosa. I want to get you guys to give feedback on that, though.
That's too close to call.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're basically the same. But
okay, so that
I say Furiosa. What do you think, John?
You know what? I think it depends on the if they're just fighting hand to hand. No pun intended.
Hands to hand.
I think there is a fair chance that Atomic Blonde will rip off her hand and beat her with.
Yeah, I mean, she's a trained fighter.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're in the post-apocalyptic hellscape, then I would probably give it to Furiosa. Because there's nothing really around for the other chick, the blonde, to use as a weapon. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I can't argue either way. I think that they are, like Sean said, essentially the same character. Well, not the same character. You know, like they're a ripoff of each other, but. I don't think there's any particular reason to give it to one or the other. I think that like you said, it depends on the setting, and we've never really established what the setting is for any of these fights. So,
like I said, I always kind of imagine it's people get just beamed into a big arena. I guess, yeah. Let's say they're both beamed in. I imagine the blonde has at least one gun and a knife or two. And Furiosa doesn't have any weapons on her besides them. I assume she can use any weapon she gets her hands on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, both of them have this tendency to come back right at the brink of defeat and win.
And push themselves beyond all physical limits.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's wow. You know, I think this one, I don't think you can pick a winner. I think this one ends up being a draw. We do have precedent for ties in the past.
We have precedent for a tie based on storyline. But yeah. I would say if it could go to either one, pick one. Sean, your call.
If I just had to pick, I'd say Furiosa. So I think I'm going to go with Furiosa.
All right. That gives us 10 winners. I have 1, 2, 3.
Is that the end of round?
That gives us 10 winners. I had 12 fights, but I feel like it's running a little long, so we'll cut it there.
Okay.
And I'll make a match.
Is that the end of round one?
That's the end of round one.
Okay. Let's pause for a commercial. And we'll listen to some ads for some other podcasts here on the Cosmic Potato Podcast Network, and we'll be back in just a minute for round two.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, you listener.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Do you like professional wrestling?
What?
If so, you'll love Reviewomania, where Rob and Zach break down every WrestleMania. You'll hear about great epic matches by the likes of Hulk Hogan.
And what you gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh yeah!
Ric Flair.
Just stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine right, jet flying, son of a gun.
Bret Hart.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Shawn Michaels.
Bret Hart, you are a zero, my hero.
John Cena.
The chair is here!
Brock Lesnar.
Suplex City, bitch.
and so many more that I don't have time to even name. Check out Reviewomania right here on CosmicPotato.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker. It's a happening right here on CosmicPotato.com.
Arriba!
Attention, people of Earth! There's a new podcast on the Cosmic Potato Network you should check out. It's called Wait, You've Never Seen? I'm Shane.
And I'm Virginia, and I have no idea what that was.
I'm so sorry for the old-timey voice. I can't promise it won't happen again, though. So, Virginia and I will be taking turns watching movies that one of us has never seen.
Because I grew up under a rock and have a lot of catching up to do.
I am uncultured, so Virginia will be showing me musicals and old-timey movies. Again, we can be heard on the Cosmic Potato Podcast Network.
And on our website at waityouveneverseen.com.
See you then!
Hey everybody, I'm Troy.
And I'm AJ.
And we are the hosts of the World War G podcast, along with Colton, but he's not here right now.
Yeah, so pay no attention.
And we're a podcast about everything geek. We talk about movies, television,
video games, comic books.
We got movie commentaries, the occasional taste tests, like these lovely pina colada Oreos.
Just don't try the Coke ones.
No. Dang, what do we say after that?
Dang it.
Okay. I'm
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you can find us right here at cosmicpotato.com or at worldwarg.podbean.com.
Or wherever else you get your podcasting fix. And as always, stay geeky, my friends.
Hi, this is Virginia Hay, and you're listening to Cosmic Potato.
Here, I'll do intermission music. Baby shark.
I am almost afraid to ask what you are even talking about.
How have you avoided the baby shark thing? It is this unbelievably.
All right.
I can't wait to listen to all of those shows. Those sound great.
All right.
Actually, I probably brought it back too soon. I could use that 2 minutes to match these guys up. That's fine. You can sing the Stark song.
No.
It's this incredibly adorable video of these two kids. Their channel is called Pink Fong. And they're singing this really catchy little stupid kid song, Baby Shark. But they're just adorable doing it, and it's just gone hyper viral. And once it gets into your head, it will drive you absolutely insane.
I don't know if you saw the videos that were going around over the last couple of months with people doing the Drake song, and they're dancing outside the car as it's going down the road, and then some people have been doing the same thing, but they're using the Baby Shark song instead.
Oh my goodness.
It's funny. I've been driving my wife crazy singing it the last couple of days.
I introduced my daughter to it yesterday at dinner. She thought it was great.
This may be the best ever. All right, so we're in round two. We have five matches of 10 combatants. Since it's uneven, we'll all chip in. First round, or first fight. Mad Max versus Furiosa.
That's not fair. Who's this for? Oh, this is for everybody, right?
It's for everybody.
I think Furiosa takes it.
Yeah.
Because Max, for all of his badassery and bravado, I think there's still enough of the I can't hit a woman in him. That
he hit a lot of women.
When?
He clocked the teenage girl.
No, we're talking. We're talking. Mel Gibson, Max.
Because he's violent. It was. I mean, she was like out of control, and he punched her to knock her out.
But in the context of this game, we're talking Mel Gibson version of Max versus.
Yeah, but not Mel Gibson. No, Mel Gibson would smack a woman with no hesitation.
Right.
Probably, allegedly. Yeah.
By the nature of this game, it must be the version.
Right.
I think I agree with you. I think there would be a split second of hesitation.
But she wouldn't hesitate, and she'd take him out.
And that split second would be all she needs.
Yeah.
Aren't they supposed to be making a Furiosa movie?
They were rumors. If it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to. Because Ms. Theron is not sitting around waiting for it to happen.
No.
All right. Connor McLeod versus Laura Croft.
Oh, Connor McLeod.
I thought she lost.
I thought Maleficent won.
Yeah, Maleficent won that fight.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she barbecued Laura Croft.
You did.
I still say Connor McLeod. Because it wouldn't matter if she barbecued him. He wouldn't die. He would eventually.
Yeah, I don't know very much about McLeod.
So the rules of Highlander. So Connor McLeod is the Highlander, and his one power is that he is an immortal. And there are they never say how many, but there are immortals that live all over the earth, and they're in this game. It's basically a game for one survivor, and over time they all battle each other until there are only two left.
Don't tell anymore, just add it to your list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just telling the rules.
I would love to hear the reaction of someone who goes into the Highlander, watches Highlander, knowing very little about it.
But we don't know if fire.
Well, it's fine. I'm shifting the combatants because I thought it was Laura Croft. So I'm going to change. Laura Croft is out, and I'll pit Connor McLeod versus Lestat.
Ooh.
Now he can drink his blood all day long, and he'll keep making it.
They're both immortal.
Yeah, they're both immortal.
Yep.
But
Lestat is much more killable than McLeod is.
Yeah, I was gonna say Lestat doesn't. Does he? I mean, like McLeod's been like fighting for a couple thousand years, or at least several hundred years. Lestat doesn't fight that much, does he?
Oh yeah, he does.
He does.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lestat is quite adept at physical violence even before he becomes a vampire.
You're going with Lestat from the books.
Right? So Lestat in the movie doesn't really, yeah, don't really see much
this
of his.
Because this is the doppelganger's game, I think you have to use that Lestat.
The movie version, yeah.
Now I think you can import whatever backstory you want if it's not contradicted by the film. How about that?
Okay, so at the point in because later on Lestat becomes, for all intents and purposes, a god. Sorry, spoiler. that is tough. Because if it got to the point where Lestat thought he was losing, he would literally just rip McLeod's head off. And he could do it even at that point in the... I gotta give it to Lestat.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in on?
Nah, I'll go with that. I agree with that.
All right. So Maleficent instead will be fighting the Mask.
That would be hilarious.
She would be so frustrated. She would be so vexed. That would be the funniest thing ever. She was just like going on out, giving him like nuclear level attacks and bending his body to avoid them.
Yeah.
But see, we never saw.
What does he have as a way to attack her, though?
Well, whatever he wants.
True.
I imagine he would, you know,
transform into an Acme rocket and like plow right into her.
He would give her a bowling ball looking bomb with a fuse, or
drop an anvil on her head.
Drop an anvil on her.
Yeah.
Right.
Big hammer, big mallet out of his coat pocket, that sort of thing.
Or turn his arm into a hammer and hit her on the head with it.
Yeah. Oh, he probably wouldn't hit her head. He'd hit her big toe.
Yeah. So she's hopping. He'd open her mouth really, really wide and drop some dynamite down her throat.
I think she would get so annoyed that she would make a mistake.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, she
Well, she's not as versatile as he is either. Like, she's a sorceress, so she only has, like, a couple of tricks up her sleeve. And
in the Maleficent movie, she does lots of stuff. But she's
okay.
But if we go by that, she's also vulnerable to physical attack in that movie, because she gets...
She's full-fledged sorceress, but she is also attacked. That's correct. The question is, would she be familiar with the Mask enough to know?
Enough to know what? I'm sorry?
To take the Mask off of him.
Oh.
Ooh, what if she took the Mask off of him and then she put it on? What would happen if Maleficent put on the Mask?
That's fanfic. That's out there somewhere.
I'm sure.
Suffice to say, Jim Carrey fight. I think I'm voting Mask.
I am too.
I am too.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right. Peter Venkman versus Groot.
Squish.
Yeah.
Fill that in. All right.
I'd say Groot. Yeah, Groot. Groot.
I mean, I don't know that the proton pack would even hurt Groot. It might scorch him a little bit.
We've seen it set stuff on fire.
Yeah, but you get one shot and then squish.
Yeah. You get one shot and yeah. Jack Bauer versus Captain Kirk.
Jack Bauer.
Hmm.
He's more ruthless.
Chris Pine, Captain Kirk, obviously.
Kirk have a phaser?
Does Jack Bauer have a gun? I mean,
I think we should just set a standard rule for this. We always keep. I think what we've said is, if he knows that he's going to be in a battle ahead of time, he'll grab a phaser on the way out. But just standard issue, he doesn't have one, I don't think. Rick, you make the call. More often than not, does he have a phaser on him?
Well, if he's just walking around the ship, he wouldn't have one on him.
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, if it's like they're beaming down and we're intercepting their transporter beam and sending them to this Thunderdome, then yes, he would have one. But if it's just, you know, he's in the mess hall getting a chicken sandwich and coffee, there's no.
Unlike Jack Bauer, who most definitely have a gun.
He always has his gun, yeah.
Yeah.
Has it strapped to him in the shower.
But also, Kirk has plot armor that's like really thick.
Yes.
True. You know what? Let's try it both ways. Let's say he has a phaser.
Then Kirk wins.
Yeah.
If it's set to kill and he like disintegrates him on the first blast.
But it wouldn't be set to kill.
Yeah, Kirk would stun him.
Yeah.
Now, I have to, full disclosure, I never saw 24, so I only know Bauer by reputation.
You probably got it. I'm guessing you probably have an accurate...
He's just a really good fighter with no scruples, from what I gather.
He's John McClane, but a lot angrier.
Yeah, that's about it.
So Kirk could stun him and then disarm him, and then... Would Jack Bauer still be able to beat him up?
It's really...
Well, if he's... I mean, he is vulnerable to getting stunned.
Mm-hmm.
If Jack Bauer does not find cover, if the stun beam hits him, he will be stunned. He's not superhuman.
Yeah, I mean, basically...
In fact, he probably won't see the nap anyway. I'm going to give it to Kirk.
Yeah, basically at that point, you're saying which one of them gets a shot off first. So it's a shootout. Because...
Yeah, but... I think Jack Bauer will have a slight disadvantage because he hasn't had any sleep.
But
also, it won't be quite as fast.
But he has
you can dodge a bullet. You can't dodge a phaser beam.
Yeah, he has an incredibly strong bladder though, and he can go a really long time without. he can go a really long time without having to charge his phone.
Okay. 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. 5 combatants. Let's see. Let's match up. All right. Well, it's got to be Kirk versus Furiosa.
Kirk will not hesitate like Max would have.
No, but would he win that fight?
He still got his phaser? Yeah.
Think so?
Phaser kind of evens things out. Even hand to hand, I think that, you know, Kirk beat Khan hand to hand.
Did he?
Yeah,
I don't think he did.
In the show,
go watch Space Seed.
Well, this is Chris Pine Kirk.
Yeah, he's in even better shape than William Shatner Kirk.
Right.
Yeah, but then he tried to hit Khan, and Khan just stood there, and he's like, "Oh, you want to try to hit me harder?"
Oh,
like,
that's sometimes about.
No, their final fight in the engineering section. Yeah, Khan was throwing Kirk around like a rag doll, but eventually he beat him.
Yeah, but that's William Shatner version.
Are you talking about Space Seed, or we're talking about?
It's got to be the movie.
Into Darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, that Khan.
It's yes.
We don't talk. We don't discuss that.
Don brought it up. Okay.
That wasn't Khan. I don't know what the hell they were thinking, but that was not Khan.
I think we kind of gave Kirk his phaser, would have his gun, but Furiosa wouldn't. I think it's hand to hand, and I think she would win.
Yeah, hand to hand, Furiosa wins.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but just from what y'all have said, it sounds like Furiosa is pretty badass and would totally take him down.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm very surprised you haven't seen that. That movie's like right up your alley.
I wrote at the top of my list, Mad Max movies, right there.
I mean, just like aside, just that movie in itself.
Yes.
All right. Lestat versus Groot.
Ooh.
A lot of Lestat's attacks won't work on.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if you break his arm off. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I would have to go with Groot. I don't see how.
He is a living steak. He is a big wooden steak.
Oh my goodness, you're right.
He could shove his arm through his chest.
that is not part of Anne Rice's mythology, so
the wooden steak doesn't kill him?
Well, it getting impaled by anything sucks for her vampires, but no, it doesn't kill them. Pretty much the only thing that can kill her vampires is fire or sunlight.
Ironically, the same things that would kill Groot.
Sunlight doesn't kill Groot.
Well, not sunlight.
You need to get watered. I'm off on a tangent again. All right.
Yeah, they're both flammable. Vampires are actually very flammable. Especially the young ones. I got to go with Groot. Yeah, I don't think Lestat can beat Groot.
All right. It's very impressive that you're still in the running, giving the people that she's up against at this point. So let's do Groot versus the Mask. I think that's going to be the Mask.
Yeah, for all the same reasons that he beat Maleficent.
Yeah.
Although, does Groot get frustrated, or has he got like the patience of an ant, and you just stand there and let the Mask go crazy and do all kinds of stupid things that don't really affect Groot all that much, and then smush?
Like the Mask would look at the camera and flick a beak and throw it at Groot.
Yeah, I think Groot. Yeah, he does get frustrated.
I don't see.
Now are we talk. Yeah, talking.
Groot is basically a big prop.
We're talking Groot from Guardians 1 or Groot from Guardians 2? Because that's two different Groots.
Yeah, baby Groot or
Guardians 1, full fledged Groot.
Okay,
but I mean he would play around for a while. He'd pull out a chainsaw. You know, he'd dress like a lumberjack and he'd start. Eventually, he would just pull out a flamethrower, and that'd be
But you know, we know that the Mask can do like cartoony stuff, but like eventually, if Groot is just, you know, beating the ever living tar out of him like he can,
but he's rubberized. Like even if he just go and then the damage is gone. I don't know. He can't affect any. Even if he were to impale him, he would look down at the hole and go, "Oh, that's gonna." Well, he's not hurt. He's fine.
Then I guess we can cut to the end then, because if the Mask is invulnerable to any attack.
Yeah. Once you start. All right. Honorable mention. It was, you know, the participation award for most improved for making it to the final round, given the people that choose.
Yeah.
but for this round of Sci-Fighters Doppelgangers Edition, the Mask, a.k.a. Jim Carrey, was the day.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey's version of the Mask, not the Jamie Kennedy version of the Mask. Have you guys ever seen that movie, The Son of the Mask?
God, no.
No.
That's not part of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it came out, my son was probably 6 or 7, so it was in the kids section of the... Which I don't know why. It's not really a kids movie. Well, part of it is. It starts out... But I mean, the whole conceit of the movie is that he has sex with his wife while he's wearing the mask. Now, they don't show that happen, but that's what happens. And then they have a baby 9 months later.
Wait, what? Is that what happened?
That's what the movie is about. So in Son of the Mask, this guy, Jamie Kennedy, is playing this guy, and he finds the mask. I don't remember how, but he finds the mask.
How is the wife okay with that?
He puts it on, and he goes out and gets all this confidence or whatever, and he comes home and he has sex with his wife while he's wearing the mask. And
how was the wife okay with that?
She wasn't.
Is she still Cameron Diaz?
No. He's playing a different guy. He's not playing the same guy. And then 9 months later, she has a baby. And this baby is like a cartoon character. He it basically turns into a Tom and Jerry cartoon after that, you know, because he's got a lot of the powers of the mask. But he's a
baby. I thought that movie was, I didn't remember the baby thing at all. I just remember.
That's why it's called Son of the Mask, because of the baby.
I didn't even know it was called Son of the Mask. I thought it was Mask 2.
Mm-mm.
I thought it was like Loki came back to get his mask. I thought that was
that's the plot. B plot. That's the B plot.
That's the B plot.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. All right.
Hey, it is not a good movie. I'm not saying that at all. It is not. But it exists. That is my review of Son of the Mask. It exists.
Good movies that had lousy sequels. There's a show topic for Sunday.
I think.
All right.
But yes. This is not like we ran out.
Okay. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. The mask wins. The mask wins the day. So, all right. Virginia, thank you for being here. Are you there?
Sorry. I think either I cut out or you cut out. I'm sorry.
It may have been both. tell everybody where they can find you and where you'll be talking about all of these movies that you made a list of tonight.
Well, you can find my Star Trek blog at casuallygo.com. I'm currently working on through a Discovery rewatch weekly. And then I have a podcast called Wait, You've Never Seen about a lot of movies that I haven't seen, like the Mad Max movies or Highlander or Groundhog Day, both which were featured prominently in this episode.
All right. And Rick, thank you for being here.
My pleasure as always. Thank you for having me.
And people can find you at...
I don't want to talk about it. Over at simplysyndicated.com. Check out my Stargate SG-1 podcast, The Seventh Chevron. I'm also on the Simply Syndicated movie quiz show that we're not quite sure what it's called yet. It's going to be something along those lines, though.
I thought it was kind of a placeholder.
I don't know that that Rich decided on that being it or if that was just sort of like best we could come up with. I have no idea. I just show up and get if you're a fan of Captain Game Show and you want to hear me get my intellectual ass handed to me on a regular basis, go listen to the movie quiz show because
it's all movie trivia.
All movie trivia. And I suck so bad at that.
I gotta say, man, the Rich playing the theme song is the funniest thing
yeah, I've heard
in a long time. I think I've got one of them out of the, like, you've got three shows out. I've listened to them. I successfully interpreted one.
The first one he did was Star Trek The Motion Picture. I'm like, no effing way was that Star Trek The Motion Picture.
I would not stand a chance. I do pretty good at the movie trivia, but the musical, not a chance.
I wonder.
Anyway, that's where you can find me.
I wonder if he's got some kind of like a music book that's telling him, like, you know, kids have these music books that says push this number and it makes this note or whatever.
He is a musician. He used to be a bass player. Oh, okay. So he knows how to play music. So he's just plunking it out by memory.
It's fantastic. I'm not disparaging the fact that it sounds crazy. I'm saying it's great. It's so great. It is a lot more entertaining than if it was like a perfect rendition. I love it.
Because what it is, it's a little like kid's keyboard that he picked up at the British equivalent of a 5 and 10 cent store.
Yeah, it's like a little $10 Casio. my first keyboard.
All right. And John, thanks for being here as well.
Sure thing, man.
Where can people hear you?
Captain Game Show. It's a game show. Right here on the Cosmic Potato. network, don't you know? That's the way I flow. <'Cause you know.
laughs> And John regularly breaks into song on his show too.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's appropriate. That's the only one I'll plug. You're not on that I'm on, John. So yeah, anywhere that you would hear Sean, you might hear me aside from Captain Game Show. And Facebook, Twitter at Captain Game Show.
All right.
Check it out.
And be sure to join and be sure to check out the cosmicpotato.com. We've got several other shows on there. World War G, Trial by Pilot, and Review of Mania. So check those out. But you might hear next time you might hear John say
let's do this one. Reason number 54. Life is just like a movie, except in real life, the zombie situation is totally under control.
True.
Is that dead silence because the joke was horrible or you couldn't hear me?
We heard you.
Be sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us by email at mail@cosmicpotato.com or send us a voicemail or text message to 205-642-8380. Help the show grow by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you for joining us for Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk podcast.